الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. As you seen, the Sheikh was emotional quite often, and there's a reason for it. Of course, he was well. He began his khutbah by advising himself and everybody else to have taqwa towards Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. And taqwa, as the scholars explain it, is to, it comes from the word wiqaya, which is protection or shield. And having taqwa towards Allah, as it is often commanded in the Quran, is that you put a shield between you and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing that which He commanded and, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, and staying away from that which He forbade. Like, this is what taqwa is. Do's and don'ts. When you establish the do's and don'ts of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you are qualified as one of the muttaqeen. And when you become one of the muttaqeen, the pious, if you were to translate it to English, then you have all kinds of benefits and rewards and promises from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran and the Sunnah for those who have this quality. So it ain't easy really, because often you will do things that you're not supposed to do, and you will not do things that you're supposed to do. So you will no longer be from the muttaqeen. So all these promises you might not receive. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. You might not receive. Allah might still forgive you out of His mercy if you are a believer. So after the Shaykh, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. After the Shaykh does briefly with the advice, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, which is the advice, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, which is the advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given His creation from the beginning of time. Actually, the first messenger, Nuh alayhi salam, this was among the first things he told his people. Inna arsalna Nuhan ila qawmihi an anzir qawmaka min qabli an yatiyahum azabun alim. Qala ya qawmi i'budullaha wa attaquh. He says, oh my people, worship Allah and have taqwa towards Him. So this was the trademark or the slogan of every messenger. Worship your Lord alone and have piety towards Him, have taqwa towards Him. Do that which He commanded, stay away from what He forbade. This is a major principle in our deen. Because everything else is a byproduct or is branches of this root, which is having taqwa towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh mentioned about travel. And he warned from traveling into the lands of the disbelievers. Now I know some of you, almost all of you are from the Philippines. So you might say, okay, well, but you expect me never to go back to my country. It is my country and things along these lines, so I'm not going to get into all of that. We're assuming that somebody lives in a Muslim land. This is his residence. This is his citizenship. طيب, and he would like to go to London or LA to have some fun, for luxury, for visitation. This kind of travel has been prohibited Islamically. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am innocent from every Muslim who lives among the disbelievers. And living among the disbelievers, it's okay. 3 seconds you have, 3 seconds. Living among the disbelievers will cause you to interact with them. Interacting with them will cause you to share things with them. Sharing things with them will cause you to give up some of the things that you do and adapt some of the things that they do in order to keep things in harmony. Thus, you are sacrificing, you are sacrificing part of Allah's commands and the taqwa that is upon you in favor for pleasing somebody other than Allah. Furthermore, somebody who doesn't believe in Allah. Furthermore, somebody whom Allah doesn't love. So it's not exactly the best equation that you could have. So our deen came to protect us. And you may say, why? This is too much, this is extreme. You might think some awkward thoughts, which are from the whispering of the shaitan. If you understood the idea that you're only in this life as a temporary stranger, coming here to handle some quick business and then go afterwards, you wouldn't think this is a big deal. This will make a lot of sense for you, as a matter of fact. Because the Prophet ﷺ once grabbed the son of Umar. Umar radiallahu anhu, he was the Khalifa of the Muslims after the first Khalifa Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. His son Ibn Umar used to be one of the scholars of the Sahaba, and he was very knowledgeable, and he used to love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a lot. And they were all pious people and had taqwa. One time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grabbed him by his shoulder. He says, Ya Umar, Ya Ibn Umar. He says, O son of Umar, Kun fi dunya ka'annaka gharibun aw abiru sabil. Be in this dunya, be in this world, as if you are a stranger or a wayfarer, somebody who is just passing by. And the scholars who interpret the narrations of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and they study them, they deduce a lot of benefits. Hala, one of us might listen to the narration and say, oh, what's the big deal? Be in this world like you're a stranger, or like you're just traveler, like you're just a traveler. And well, if you really look into it, it's a little more deep than that. Then this is how the scholars study. Say, look man, if you are a stranger, that means you don't belong. You understand what I'm saying, brothers? You don't belong. You might feel like you're a stranger in Saudi. All these Arabs around you, people wearing this kind of clothes, and massaging all over the place, the marketplace is different, the food is different, the land is different. You go back to the Philippines, this is your home. Everybody's like you, you use everybody, it's the same thing. So you come over here and say, this is strange. No matter how much you belong, you really don't feel like you belong because you're a stranger. And so a stranger never gets attached. He never feels like he's in harmony with that, because there's always these boundaries and differences. If the Prophet ﷺ said, be in this world like you're a stranger, meaning you can never feel like you belong in this world. You never feel like this world is part of me, I'm part of this world, I'm going to be here eternally. Your mind is always focused on the hereafter. What will happen after I pass away? What will happen on the day of judgment? And this is where the Shaykh got emotional at the end of the khutbah. What will happen on that day? So you don't feel like you belong in this world. Because you're here temporarily, you know you're going to live X amount of years. You don't even know how long that is. It could be 20. It could be 25. It could be 30. And so forth. You don't know. So how do you belong? How do you just relax? This is the first idea. The second idea, a traveler. When you travel, let's assume you want to go to China. Do you go get your whole house? Lift it up? Put it on your shoulder? Go to get this marketplace that you like very much, this bakala store, say, come, all of you come with me. And everything in the store. I like you, I want you to be with me wherever I go. Do you grab all of your clothes, all of your shoes, all of your friends, oh, everybody, come on, let's go. No, yes, sir. You get your luggage, you put a few pants that you wear all the time, a few shirts, a few favorite shoes, a couple of things, and you go travel, handle business, and come back. You don't carry more than you can handle because you want to get there. So the more things you have on your back, the more difficult it is to get there. This is this dunya. Don't take with you more than what you need. Take what is necessary to get you by to the other end. Don't be overburdening yourself with worldly affairs. And then you don't have time to do what you are supposed to do, which is worship Allah. So you come on the Day of Judgment with a lot of luggage and no ticket. It's a problem. But this is the shaitan's main job. This is what he does for a living. To come and make it this way, but you don't see it. He keeps confusing you until you don't see it. It becomes the opposite. And the reason why I'm touching about with this, the Shaykh didn't mention any of this. This is me. Because I know that you're new Muslims. To come and tell you that not to go to the land of disbelievers, although you come from the land of disbelievers, might be a problem. I'm trying to show you why the Islam holds this position. So you will understand there's no extreme, and there's no harshness, and there's no none of that stuff. But yet, it all is logical. Because if you travel to the land of kuffar, as soon as you get off the plane, you know what kind of woman you're going to see. So once you start seeing this woman, depending on your iman, you might be able to lower your gaze, hide yourself, cover yourself, or you might just, the shaitan might just grab you by your neck. And then you just go all out. And some lady says, come on with me to the hotel. And your iman is all still, your faith hasn't reached a level where you could worship Allah with strength. And say, hey, get out of here, I'm a Muslim, I don't get down with these kind of things. You might just say, well, you know what, it's been a long time and you know, I haven't had a girlfriend since I've accepted Islam and I think I deserve a little fun. I'm being serious with you, we're all men. There's no woman here, right? Alhamdulillah. Aywa. So you might just harm yourself. You might die over there. You might go to a bar. And the angel of death comes and stabs your soul in a bar. What kind of end is this? It's no good. So the land of disbelievers, because they don't worship Allah, they don't care about Allah, they're not concerned about Allah, everything goes. You know the saying, everything goes. Yalla, whatever you want, yalla. Stealing, lying, fornicating, adultery, gambling, alcohol, smoking, marijuana, drugs, cocaine, yalla, everything goes. Oh, you just come. You can't live like this, man. You are Muslim, you have some boundaries, you have some things you cannot do. So naturally you will not feel fit in a non-Muslim land. You understand what I'm saying? This is just by nature. If your situation doesn't allow you or give you any other choice, may Allah make it easy for you. But we're talking about traveling for purposes of having fun. So the Shaykh mentioned all the dangers of travel. Then he mentioned what the subject of the khutbah. And he went on for a long trail mentioning about this kind of travel. He says it's the kind of travel where the woman doesn't have to have a mahram. It's the kind of travel where you don't need a visa. It's the kind of travel where you don't even need to move your body. You could be relaxed. It's the kind of travel where you don't have to carry nothing with you. It's the kind of travel where you don't spend any money. It's the kind of travel he kept talking. I was wondering, what kind of travel are you talking about? What are you talking about? He said it's the kind of travel, it's the kind of travel, it's the kind of travel. And he's about to tell us which travel is he talking about that has all these problems. Then he finally said it. He said it is the travel that one of us travels through the satellite dishes. This kind of travel. He says the reason why it is worse than traveling with your physical body, because when you travel with your physical body, you have evidences and you have the ability to negotiate. So somebody says something that you don't agree with, you say, no, excuse me, it is this way. And the evidence is this, and so you have give and take. So you could come up a winner. With the TV and the satellite, your mouth is shut. You only can take in. You can't say nothing to the TV, ain't nobody gonna listen to you anyways. They think you're crazy the most, the people around you. Otherwise the TV is the one who will teach you. He will put information in your head and he will force his way in a subliminal manner. Because you might really not, you might say, what's the big deal? I'll tell you, I'll give you an example. You know, everybody is obsessed with the Walt Disney movies. You know, the Little Mermaid and the Seven Midgets and One Beauty and the Beast and all this crazy stuff. Have you ever really thought of the Little Mermaid? One of you might think, yeah, it's a cartoon for the children. It's innocent. You know, you might think that the cartoon, the Little Mermaid, you know which one it is, right? You might think it's innocent. Just think of it from another angle. It's a woman, half naked. She's wearing only a bra on top, nothing at the bottom, her fish. She's disobeying her father, running away from him, falling in love with a man, as a cartoon. So the children sit there and watch 20 times, 30 times, 40 times, as many times as they watch it. It's been proven in the science field and the doctors and scientifically that this will have an effect on you whether you choose it or not. Eventually your mind will absorb it. Next thing you know, the girl, when she reaches 15 years age and she meets this man, she was, without even thinking about the Little Mermaid and none of this stuff, she starts acting out this lifestyle because it has been ingrained in her brain. This is just a cartoon. Then what do you say about all the other junk that they put on this TV? Specifically, يعني أنت, while you're sitting at home, you bring in all the land of kufr into your household. We are running away from them, so we will protect ourselves in this life where we are strangers and just travelers, so we could go with the good stuff. And instead of traveling and paying all this money, we bring them right into our house. We cannot negotiate, we cannot give them dawah, we cannot do nothing. All we can do is take. Take. And this is if we're speaking about the evil part. Some of you might say there's a Quran channel and Iqra and all these other things that are this. Wallahi, ya brothers, wallahi, very rarely you will find a real scholar on these TVs. It is usually somebody like myself who knows 15 things and he gets there and he teaches people the deen. I'm just translating. Or I quote the opinion of the scholars. Those who get on these TV channels usually don't have any knowledge. And usually don't have sufficient knowledge to be teaching people things to begin with. So getting the deen from these individuals is not a reliable source. And so you have all these magic channels and all these other things that I don't really know details about except what I hear from people. But what I know is that there's a whole bunch of evil in these satellite dishes. Then the Shaykh was warning and advising the people to be careful from the punishment of Allah. Because you are enjoining the evil. And then he said, I have three advice for you. The first advice is that you have taqwa towards Allah regarding your own self. And how do you bring into your house something that doesn't please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Aren't there women that are undressed, uncovered on these channels? By Allah, tell me the truth. Yes. Aren't they things that are against the teachings of Islam? Absolutely. Aren't they things that will poison the brain of the children? Yes. So how does one of us bring this into his own house? Into his own house and make this the law? And the reference, and the entertainment, and the family time. All of it behind a television station, being brainwashed. So this is the first advice. The second advice is, have taqwa towards your family. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Oh, you who believe, protect yourselves and your family from the fire. Protect yourselves from you and your family from the fire. How do you let your daughter and your son and your wife sit there and get brainwashed by all these new ideologies and this new nonsense that they have on the satellite dishes? Those who they bring from London and America and all these channels. He says, don't be shocked if your daughter starts dating this man and that man. And don't be shocked if your wife starts wearing some funky clothes and exposing herself to people outside. And don't be shocked if your children ignore you, don't listen to you and disrespect you and have some new way of treating you. Don't be shocked about none of this stuff if you're going to remain upon this. And the third advice that he gave to us is to remember the death. And to remember that you will be, this is where he got emotional. On the day of judgment, remember that you will be put, and before the day of judgment, remember that you will be put in a grave, in a pit on an earth where there's darkness and sand will be stuffed in your mouth and the worms will eat you up and there will be nobody there for you. And this is where each one of us will end. So he's reminding the brothers about this day, about that day which will be coming soon. Then on the day of judgment, when your wife and your children will come and ask for their rights, why did you misguide us? Why did you allow this to happen to us? And they'll be grabbing on to you, and you will have no answer for them. And you will be responsible for them. And you will be mistreating them. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, any man whom Allah has given responsibility under his care, and he comes on the day of judgment, he had betrayed them, except that Allah will make Jannah forbidden for him. He says, and allowing your family to be taught nonsense is betraying them. Because this was a responsibility for you that you did not fulfill towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what the whole idea is about. This life is short, and we only have so much time to do righteous deeds. To recite the Quran, to remember Allah, to obey Allah, to love Allah, and to have Allah love us. And to give da'wah to non-Muslims so they will be saved from the fire. So we can protect ourselves from the fire. Those who are close to us from the fire. The mankind in general. To give them da'wah. We have responsibilities and things upon our shoulder. It doesn't befit one of us to be doing the opposite by sitting behind a TV channel and some sort of crazy satellite dish and getting brainwashed. It is the way that the kuffar want to disassemble the Muslims. They want the Muslim woman to be out there just like everybody else so they can enjoy her like everybody else. So when they're done with her, as you may have done in your past, you can leave her alone and look for the next one. They want the same thing from the Muslim woman. How are they going to get into the Muslim house? You think a priest is going to come to your house with a cross around his chest? Say, excuse me, let me speak to your wife about Christianity? La wallah. But they will start a TV channel. Put a satellite dish in your house and send it right in there from outside. This is serious. So we want to look at the thing from the bigger angle. Don't be getting stuck on OTV and brother, it's just a TV and I like watching TV and it's my fun for the day and this and that. Look at the more harm. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran about alcohol and gambling. There's evil in them and there's goodness. But their evil is much more. So we weigh things like this. If there's more evil, even if there's a few channels that have nothing but Quran, wallahi, it's not worth it that you take a risk on all this evil for this little goodness. Get a recorder and a tape and press play. And you hear the same Quran, maybe in a better quality. So we don't want to fall into the traps of the shaitan. So this was the idea. Have taqwa towards Allah. If you have a satellite dish and it's big enough for you to swing it like this outside the balcony, yalla, go for it. Just don't kill anybody while you do it. Go outside, get a hammer and a thing and break it into pieces. And sit down at home and relax with your family. Tell them, sit down, let me teach you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who created you. Allah is the one who sustains you. Allah is the one who you return to. Come, let's recite some Quran. Come, let's study some hadith. This is something. But to be watching TV with each other and having your daughter watch some handsome guy while you're cooking in the kitchen, you don't know what's going on in her mind. He might be a fitna for her. How do we do this? It doesn't make any sense. So let's be wise, inshallah, among the Muslims. I know you're sweating by now. And leave alone these things and have taqwa towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prepare ourselves for the day of judgment where we will be asked about every action of ours. It's a serious affair to enter Jannah. It takes some work, but bi-idhnillah we could do it. Wallahu ta'ala ala.